And speaking of news, the big thing we're talking about today, the primaries in big states. Hillary Clinton last night won 3 of 4 Democratic primaries, meaning she's right back in the thick of things. Meanwhile, John McCain won all 4 GOP contests, clinching enough delegates to become the presumptive Republican nominee. So what do we make of all this stuff? What happens next? Joining us to provide some post-primary analysis to answer our questions, John Harris, editor-in-chief of Politico.com. Hey, John.
Good morning.
How you doing?
It's been a short night, but I loved every minute of it.
I know, drama, right?
That's what, for political junkies, this is a dream come true. For Democrats, this is a mess.
Is it? Okay, we're going to get to that. First, I want to start with Senator Clinton. Is she back in the game? Is that fair? She'd argue probably she was never out.
Well, she's obviously back in the game. She can argue that she has stopped his momentum and that she is winning the big states that Democrats obviously need to win if they're going to win the presidency in the fall. It's also true, as we heard in your clip there, Senator Obama's right. He's got a delegate lead, and it's a stubborn, enduring lead that's not at all obvious how Hillary Clinton's going to surmount. And that's why I say Democrats have a mess, that what she's going to try to do is what she's done these last few days leading up to Texas and Ohio, is make the case, and trust me, it won't be subtle, that Barack Obama is just simply not tested enough to be president. He's too risky.
So what happened, John? Did these changes in her staff, in her campaign, is that what kind of changed things for her?
Well, remember, this was always favorable terrain for Senator Clinton. Both states have a large sections of the voters with whom she's been performing well. Hispanics in Texas, sort of blue-collar, working-class white voters in Ohio, the support of women in both states. So what she was expecting to do well, she was up double digits if you went back several weeks ago. What wasn't clear was whether she could build a wall to stop Barack Obama's momentum. Basically, in every state where he's had time to campaign, he won. Not here. And so that's why it was impressive. I don't know that it was a big change in staff. Definitely in strategy, they decided subtlety is for losers. There was nothing subtle about that red phone ad. Was, mm-hmm. Who do you want answering the phone at 3 in the morning? Message, like, not him. He's not ready.
Hillary was quoted in the Times as saying at an Ohio rally, "No candidate in recent history, Democrat or Republican, has won the White House without winning the Ohio primary." First, fact-checking. Is she right?
Yes, I think that you have to go back a long way before you can find somebody that won the White House without taking Ohio.
And second, is this particular state win as significant in this election?
I mean, I think it's pretty significant. This is the core of the Democratic coalition, and she is making a case that I can win those voters. Now, it's also true that African-American voters who've gone overwhelmingly for Barack Obama are the Democratic Party's most loyal constituency. I mean, so far the campaign's been in kind of an up-with-people phase. You know, Democrats are saying, isn't it great? We've got two larger-than-life politicians who celebrate diversity. Either one would be great. That phase is over. We are in the take-no-prisoners phase. As I say, like her team concluded, subtlety does not work. They're going to be pounding him in every forum, ads, speeches by the candidate, direct mail, press strategy. It's all going to be organized around making the case that you don't know who Barack Obama is. He's too risky.
What about the press's role in this? We've heard a lot in recent weeks about the media's role, and Clinton and her campaign cried foul about the media coverage of the campaign, saying that she was getting more scrutiny than Obama, undeservedly so. And Obama said the other day he thinks the press changed their coverage as a result. What's your take on that?
Well, I think they did. And Jim Vandehei, who sometimes is on this program mm-hmm. as well, my co-editor of Politico, we wrote a piece on this. First off, it's true that Hillary Clinton has been getting tougher press than Barack Obama, and it's also true that the press coverage of Obama stepped up in recent days. You want to get to a reporter's weak spot. You don't complain that he's too tough. You complain that he's in the tank, that he's too weak. It's like being mocked in high school for reporters. It's the thing that they most fear. And meanwhile, the press corps has become a subject of national ridicule. You know, Saturday Night Live skits mocking the press's coverage of this race. It worked. I think it changed the psychological dynamics within the press corps, and to my mind, sort of gave everybody a swift kick to do what has been our jobs all along, which is tough scrutiny up for both sides.
But does she get to run as an underdog? It seemed like she was trying to do that in the weeks building up to March 4th. That seems to have changed now. There is no underdog.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think she cast herself as an underdog, but I don't think it was spin. I think like she was describing the reality of her situation. Her back was totally against the wall. You know, I would say that she is still an underdog because if you look at this delegate math, and these numbers are stubborn things, he has more delegates, and it's not clear with any kind of conventional strategy, that is, like winning the remaining states, that she can overcome that lead. She's got to rely on an unconventional strategy, which involves winning over superdelegates. It involves figuring out a way to seat the Florida and Michigan delegations at the convention. Right now, they're not to be seated. Those votes don't count. It involves doing all of those things, and frankly, just counts on a measure of chaos and good luck
to carry her
over.
We have to talk about how this is going to affect the general election. How did the Democrats fight a protracted battle against McCain and each other at the same time?
Well, it's kind of tricky. If you want to be the sort of prissy, high-minded sort, you'll say, oh, tut, tut, this is awful. The party needs to be unified. How terrible this is going on. My view is not that. It's like, look, you know, politics ain't beanbag, as the saying goes. Democrats are more than capable of having a tough fight with each other and doing what parties historically do, which is unify for the general election. You know, it obviously doesn't help because McCain does get several months here in which he can start to assemble his general election strategy. And like, meanwhile, the two Democratic candidates are going to be helping him make his argument against each other. But so what? You know, the system's built to handle this. Why have primaries if you're not going to let people vote and take the contest to the end? If the outcome is genuinely in doubt, in this case it is.
Do people in political circles really say tut tut?
They do indeed. I can give you my sources who do. You know the types that who are always saying, oh, how terrible, it's so negative, we've got to bring an end to this. I say, let's keep it going.
Real quick, Mike Huckabee said goodbye to the national stage, at least as a presidential candidate yesterday. What do you think about this, John? What's the takeaway from his run for the White House? How did he shape it, if at all?
Well, if you judge it by is he better off coming out of the race than when he got in, he is. He's established himself as a nationally known figure who I think is going to be the leader of the social conservative wing of the Republican Party for the next several years. He's very popular among that group. And because he was never, except very briefly after Iowa, seen as a serious contender for the GOP nomination, he didn't really get bruised in the process a lot either. Nobody ever really had an incentive to just kind of take out Mike Huckabee. So
we'll see.
More famous, higher speaking fees, and more role in the party. What's not to like?
There you go. John Harris breaking it down for us, editor-in-chief of Politico.com. We'll see you 7 more weeks till Pennsylvania, John. We'll check
it's
in with you again.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, stay with us. You're listening to The Bryant Park Project on NPR News.